Okay, this hour we'll take questions. We'll chat with Nancy or the Zetas. It's your choice on Coast to Coast AM. And back with Nancy Leader, your phone calls, jammed phone calls. People have missed you, Nancy.
Yeah, they always do.
So how's things going? How's health is fine? Family's fine?
Yeah, I had a minor stroke about a year ago,
oh,
but
no.
I'm on Crestor and blood pressure meds and feeling good.
Good for you.
Unfortunately, that's my genetics, and I think the Zetas have their hand in there to keep me alive, too.
Well, that's good. Yeah. When the stroke was happening, how did you know something was wrong?
And my right side kind of got weak. It was one of those transient things. Scary as all get out. I mean to tell you. And you know, just and then when it lifted, you know, laying there in the emergency room, I was like, oh, gosh. Because, you know, who wants to drag around, you know, looking like Igor and Frankenstein monster and not being able to talk right or that type of thing, you know?
So, well, you sound fine now.
Yeah, it was transient, and it went away. But, boy, it scared the willies out of me. But Crestor works great for me. It does all that it promises to do. Not everybody can take it, but it dropped
right.
my bad cholesterol by half, raised my good cholesterol, just like the ads say. And I got to tell you, I miss it if I don't take it in a day. Believe me.
Well, make sure you take CoQ10, okay, when you take that statin, because it does have a way of depleting it from your body, and you really need it. So it's a great supplement.
Yeah, I'll look into that.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phones, and again, you can ask a question of Nancy or the Zetas. You pick. Hello there. You're on the air, Wildcard Line.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Sure.
I'm KVI.
Well, hi there. What's your name?
Carolyn.
Okay, Carolyn. So your question is for whom?
The Zetas.
The Zetas. Okay, go ahead.
I want to know about the Iraq war, if it's going to end or if we'll keep fighting, and if the price of the gas will come down.
Okay, here's the Zeta talk on that. We have stated that... in fact, there's an evacuation going on in Iraq, but the public is not told this. The U.S. military has long ago broken from considering Bush their commander-in-chief. Hark back to August of 2003, when there were long faces in Crawford, everybody visiting. That's when the football was taken away from Bush by the military. But they feel that the public is not ready to understand just... how criminal this White House is, in particular Cheney's action, so that the American public would be upset. What's going on? You know, the core of their leadership in disarray, about to be arrested, and who's in charge? And until they're forced to make that announcement to the public, they go through some dance pretending that Bush is the commander-in-chief. But he has ordered many times for an invasion of Iran, as we have stated on the Zeta Talk website, and the military has simply not followed the orders. Likewise, martial law ordered this. All these orders ignored. Memos lost. Did somebody say something? Nothing's going to happen. So an evac has been quietly going on, preparations for this, and we have predicted earth changes in Iraq based on the Arabian Peninsula, which if you look at the earthquake plates and the way the African continent is rolling at the top, pulling the Mediterranean apart, dropping the land bridge over into the Black Sea, for instance, around Istanbul, which has had UFO warnings to this effect, and buildings collapsed recently also, that there is a point that ends in Iraq, and as that point turns like the hand of a clock, it's going to grind Iraq up. There's a reason all that oil is in the land there. Basically, the ground fractures during such plate adjustments, and the oil, which is in fact formed by the wafting tail of Planet X over volcanoes, drops to the ground if it does not burn up in the atmosphere due to lack of oxygen, drains down into the underground cavities, and this is one reason that Iraq is oil rich. So this will be a holocaust. But beyond this, we have predicted that as the earth changes, require the military to be home in the U.S. The army is just, or the U.S. military is just simply going to evac very quietly, unannounced, not informing any news outlet, and to bring the boys home. And this will speed up as the earth changes, begin to distract people, so that very few U.S. military are left in bases around the world. And this is the end of Zeta Talk.
Nancy, why don't the Zetas get more involved in efforts? Why don't they just physically show themselves to us on a mass level and say, stop your fighting, stop doing this, and preserve your planet?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, this is our self-study planet. We're to learn its spiritual lessons, and they're actually under rules not to interfere with the free will of man. And therefore, this is our learning ground. You know, they don't come in today and rescue the starving in sub-Sahara Africa or cure people of cancer or whatever it's, or tornadoes. They don't stop tornadoes. And this is part of our lessons. As bad things happen to people, we're supposed to muster up and help each other and learn to do that or suffer the consequences and deal with the conscience pangs and our next life do better, that type of thing. And that's how we grow spiritually. So they're actually under rules not to interfere. They are not our parents. They're not our big brothers, etc. They're not going to step in and rescue us. We're to rescue each other. Now, albeit there are exceptions made now and then, you know, in as I mentioned, that they have some cities on Earth where they're taking. I was aware one time of children who were being sold into slavery, probably sex slaves, maybe for snuff films, Lord knows what, and they were in an underground bunker with a piece of metal over it, and a number of humans were taken by spaceship, including I, and we rescued those kids because the element of doubt is not disturbed. Those slavers thought that somebody else took them, or maybe the kids escaped, and those kids were taken because they're good-hearted souls, you know, to a safe city. Now, the element of doubt means that humans are to be able to say, I do believe that aliens exist, life elsewhere, they're visiting, if they're ready for it. But if it creates undue anxiety or fear, then there's an escape clause. Oh, no, just a bunch of kooks claiming they see swamp gas up there in the air. Same thing with Planet X. You know, if they're ready to see the signs and notice the sun is too far north this month and that type of thing, they'll see it, they'll deal with it, they'll say, what the heck is going on? But if it frightens the willies out of them, the whole rule is do not increase fear because that inclines the spirit to go towards selfishness. Yell fire in a crowded building and everyone gets trampled. You know, so fear is to be reduced, and that's called the element of doubt rule that the police force in the universe has mandated that the aliens around Earth now must follow.
First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Yes, my name is Eric, and I'm calling from North Dakota.
Ah, you're
and right. I have a couple questions for the Zetas.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Number one, how far in advance is your technology to ours?
Okay, here's the Zetas on that. It would be hard for you to fathom. Everyone who views UFOs is aware that we control gravity, that we can disappear into other dimensions. We've mentioned that we manufacture our own food. It's noted on the Zeta Talk website that we live for 400 years and can genetically engineer ourselves, have an IQ of 287 on average. The technology allows us to, for instance, travel across the universe rapidly, basically teleporting ourselves. We commandeer gravity for this, create a tunnel. We eliminate the repulsion force, which is like an anti-gravity force, so that it's just the draw, and it's faster than light, much faster. These matters are hard for humans to conceptualize. We are able to regrow limbs. They don't quite look perfect, but for instance, if we have an arm chopped off, we can control growth hormones. These are some examples. End of Zeta Talk.
And your second question.
And what happened at the beginning? What was the spark for the Big Bang? And I got to run.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you.
Sure. Sure. And here's data on that. We have mentioned that black holes and big bangs happen periodically in portions of the universe to renew that portion of the universe. It's a natural cyclical process. And why God so structured the universe this way, we have no answer any more than you do. We are frequently asked, does God exist? What is the plan? Why does life form as it does? These are mysteries to ourselves also. We are not the highest level of advancement spiritually. You may be in kindergarten and we may be in fourth grade, but neither of us is getting our PhD and to be privy to this kind of information. So it's a puzzlement for us also. End of Zeta Talk.
Okay, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Melinda from Atlanta. How are you all?
Fine, Melinda.
I have two questions. I want to talk to the Zetas, I'm sorry.
Okay.
How old is the human race, and is all the races from one source, and why the different races?
Okay, here's Zeta Talk on that. We have been early on in the life of Zeta Talk been asked about this and detailed six different races of man that were genetically engineered, not all of which survived. Angola man, for instance, was fuzzy in Africa and did not protect himself, had no aggressive instinct, and faded. And also Indonesia man, who was barrel-chested, was also too slow and cumbersome to protect himself against large predators. But a white man, a black man, China man, all survived. How old is the human race? This is taken process over approximately a million years. You're aware most recently of the recent history because the bones that you dig up that reflect proper cranial size for brain and the like show this, but there are many steps that are interim and need to be integrated. Neanderthal man, for instance, was phased out because he could not digest the foods on your earth and was replaced by modern man. Everyone says, why did he die out? And that's the reason cut the vase on the males and allowed them to continue their life. They simply didn't produce offspring. So the early stages where you take the ape and begin to make changes, you allow the ape to go back and incorporate and sort out the changes, the genetic engineering, because it may fail. It may not survive in the environment, the field, which is Earth surface. And therefore, long periods of time are given to allow the genetic engineering to prove itself out or fail. So approximately a million years has been in process. End of Zeta Talk.
Anything else, Melinda? That's it?
I wanted to know, are we going to evolve into another set of beings if this one, like this, where we are now, is not good? Will we look like something else
in
a few?
Yes. Oh. Here's Zetas on that. Indeed, we are forming a hybrid race. This is detailed on the Zeta Talk website. It's a cross between Zetas and humans. Many human contactees say, they put a baby in my arms and I recognized it was mine, or report pregnancies that disappear, what is considered sexual operations. We collect sperm from men. This is very seldom reported because they're in the passive position on a table, not quite the manly thing that they like to report, but women say, oh, my ova was harvested, or they took a small fetus from me. And these hybrids will be skinny like ourselves, have large eyes like ourselves, but will have your colored pupils, our IQ, our longevity. They will also digest food as humans do, but will not fart, will not gain fat, and do not really require sleep, although will probably have rest periods where we, the Zetas, do not require sleep. So do explore the hybrid section on Zeta Talk. It has physiological differences and some drawings that Nancy has produced of her participation in this program and her hybrid son, whom she was introduced to. End of Zeta Talk.
Would you, Zetas, tell us if an asteroid was approaching the planet?
Here's Zeta's talk on that. We are not allowed by the rules to warn you specifically when an earthquake is going to happen, when a tornado is going to hit, when a meteor is going to strike. This is considered interference. Very rarely are rules, for instance, the fact that no weapons of mass destruction was found in Iraq, this was due by our hand. We were granted an exception because since the U.S. military is so strong, equal in strength to all other militaries around the world, and the Bush White House, that crowd was intent on commandeering all the oil fields. We were granted an exception by the Council of Worlds to interfere, and we simply snatched those nukes away when they were planted by the CIA, which is supported by the fact that there were some radioactive soldiers who were dying of radioactivity coming back from Germany and recounted or were debriefed in Germany as to the CIA op. So very seldom are the rules allowed to be broken. Some people are protected. Nancy is protected from assassination. You can almost pinpoint the people who are. Al Gore, Fitzgerald, for instance, protected from assassination. Others are not. Why was 7/7 allowed in London? That wasn't covered. New fake terrorism attacks in the U.S., because 9/11 was not quite what it's postured to be officially, are not allowed to happen in the U.S. because that would strengthen the cabal in the White House. But beyond that, we are not allowed to interfere. So we are able to give general warnings. We are able to describe the Earth changes that will happen during the pole shift that are happening now as the Earth is increasingly twisted in a wobble and stress put on plates. There have been numerous UFO sightings recently in China, Istanbul, in the U.S., in the Ozarks and up along into the Carolinas, which will be affected by the New Madrid change, in big one in Chicago last fall. These are accompanied by telepathic warnings to the populace below stating what the Earth changes will be in their area, but we can't give a specific day. We can't say on this day this will happen. That's not allowed. End of Zeta talk.
The Zetas do not like our politics. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
George, it was interesting. You kind of stole my thunder right there. I was going to comment. It seems like the Zetas definitely have a left of center political leaning, which is interesting to me. My question is mainly to you, George. You've had a lot of people, a lot of guests on before that, have some kind of strange or out there opinions and stuff, and you've really called them on the carpet. Tonight, this woman is saying things that are incredibly ridiculous, and you're kind of, now I don't know why you didn't let her back for a couple of years. I didn't hear all of that. But I just can't believe you're not calling her on the carpet with a lot of these ridiculous statements. I mean, they're incredibly ridiculous, and I think it goes to her credibility, and it really seems like this is a very clownish act that she's putting on. That's the only comment I had.
Give me an example.
Well, she was sitting there talking about the military determining what's going on in Iraq and disobeying the orders of the commander-in-chief. As I know that you were a naval officer, and I was in naval intelligence communications. There is no way with the way that our government and our structure is set up that you can disobey any orders from the commander-in-chief. All the way down to battalion commanders would be removed and relieved of duty pending general court-martial. This is the most ridiculous stuff tonight, and I really think that your producers need to do a better. I really like the show, but tonight is just ridiculous beyond anything that you've ever had. This woman is absolutely a fraud, a ridiculous fraud.
Well, let me give you some examples. I can't name the date, but maybe about 6 months ago, Rumsfeld said that he was going to move a particular battalion from Germany. That never happened. And Bush went on live TV and said that he was going to put 30,000 Marines in to help Israel deal with the Lebanese situation. That never happened.
Stay with us, Nance. We got to take this quick break because I'm not going to get into a debate with the Zetas. Next hour, David Booth joins us. David had a dream many years ago, and it was a continuous dream of a major plane crash. He called the FAA. It's all documented. He called a psychiatrist, and kept telling them about this. The FAA determined that he was talking about a DC-10. Indeed, 3 days later, a DC-10 crashed in Chicago. David Booth will be back after I tossed him off the air, and we'll explain all of that and why next hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm with Nancy Leader and the Zetas and your phone calls. Nancy, 2012, let me talk to the Zetas. We had a civilization called the Mayans. Some of them now are still around, scattered throughout the land. But they possessed, I think, an incredible knowledge of 2012 of this planet. They're gone now, but they've left behind a date, and the date is December 21st, 2012. Zetas, we hear all kinds of things, but what do you believe is going to occur around that time period?
Okay, here's the Zetas on that. We have mentioned that the calendar is correct in and of itself, but it started off on the wrong foot when aligned with the Gregorian calendar, and the reasons for this. It is essentially a guess. There's three calendars. One is ceremonial, 260 days. One is the long calendar, 360 days, you know, with the 5 days thrown in, and another astronomical. Well, the astronomical could be lined up to things like eclipses and planetary lineups, but there's no hooks across these calendars. So here you have the long calendar, which is ending in 2012, so they think. And they have accounted for the alliance by some figure, symbol carved into a wooden temple archway. Carbon dating was done on this. However, carbon dating is notoriously inaccurate. It can vary by as much as 30 years, hypothesis has been given. They did their best to try to line it up. They also said the current survivors or Mayan ancestors are practicing the ceremonial calendar, and the ceremonial and long calendar symbols were side by side in a certain position. But who's to say that they didn't lose track during a pole shift, which people do. When a pole shift happens, all record keeping stops and it's picked up afterwards as best they can. The Egyptian census was stopped, as the Colbran and the Egyptian papyrus and the Book of Exodus reports. This will happen to your civilization. You will certainly not keep calendars. People are trying to sort out what hit them, find out where the sun is shining because there's so much volcanic gloom, figure out how to grow food because the climate changes. They migrate. They have many worries besides what day and hour it is. So essentially, we are telling you that 2012 is not the date. The pole shift will happen before that year, but just what that date is, we are not saying. End of Zeta talk.
Zetas, can you tell us who built the pyramids and how?
And this is Zeta talk on that. These were sighting devices. It is true that the Anunnaki, who live on Planet X and were on Earth in the past mining for gold and enslaving man, and were removed, chased off of Earth by the Council of Worlds because they were disturbing the balance between, in the schoolhouse, between good and evil, frightening man too much so that they could not make a decision to be good-hearted and empathetic, but rather imperialistic and controlling. Oriented. So they were chased off of Earth, but when they lived here, they built the Great Pyramids as a sighting device. There's a long tunnel that goes down into a tiny room where there's a pool that held oil and another tunnel leading down to that. This was so that they could sight down this, and when their planet came back into the solar system, as it did in 2003, that reddish glow would bounce off that pool of oil and they would say, ah, it's hoving in. Many generations passed, because 3,600 years is certainly beyond their lifespan. So those who were aware of the return and understood built the pyramids as something that could not shift so that their ancestors would have a clue and get ready in their rockets to join their mother planet and deliver their payload of gold. Now, of course, due to pole shifts, the Great Pyramids no longer point in the direction that they were intended. And there have been copycats made by the Egyptians who, like all copycats, wanted the grandiosity of the Anunnaki. End of Zeta Talk.
Let's move on to West of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, George. It's Richard in Las Vegas.
Hi, Richard.
8:40 a.m. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
It's good talking to you. Nancy, it's good to have you and the Zetas there. I got to say, George, that I take offense to that caller before the break. If you can't add something, just shut the radio off, because it's offensive to us as listeners who are trying to learn something here. Now I'll get to Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
I'm calling really to speak to the Zetas. I have two questions. My first question is, they're both regarding astrophysical kind of scientific questions. The first question is there an end to the universe?
Wow, that's a heavy one. Here's the Zetas on that. Not that we are aware. There's lots of theories about wrapping around, that it's all circular, so that if you go in one direction, you end up coming in on another side. We have not found that to be true. The universe is vast. In fact, we don't travel the full universe that we're aware of. We go to the edges of what you might consider the universe and see more yet. We are aware that there are portions of the overall that we can't visit. It would be poisonous to us as incarnated species. There are worlds you couldn't visit, nor we, that would be poisonous to us, suns that would, kill us, etc. It is so vast. Even the Council of Worlds that we work with is only in effect as rule keepers in our portion of the universe. As we mentioned, we are not at the PhD level. We are perhaps in fourth grade, where you are in kindergarten, and therefore there are many answers we don't have. We're told, stick to your lessons, get ready for the higher grades, but don't try to overreach and go and deal with another level's lessons. So therefore, we simply can't answer this, but it does not seem to have an end, and we can tell you it does not wrap around so that you travel and bounce around in a circle.
Boy, and
it's Zeta Talk.
Yes, thank you. Yes, that was two great answers. The second question I have is, astronomers see a universe in the sky. In your world and our world, how much, to give us some idea of the universe, how much percentage-wise can you calculate we see as opposed to what may really exist in your world? And I'll take that off the air, and thank you, George. All of you have a great evening.
Thanks. Here's the data on that. We've described the equivalent would be as you, what you know is your immediate neighborhood, neighbors that you are acquainted with and walk around, and rather than take the car, that's your known universe. Compared to what we know would be man's concept of what the universe is. We're not sure what percentage that is, but it's darn small. And so you are really unaware of almost all of the universe that we are aware of. End of Zeta Talk.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I'm from Orange, California.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I'm wanting to speak to the Zetas, actually.
All right.
Nancy, how are you doing
today? Hi, doing great, thanks.
Great, good to hear you. I'm wanting to know, you mentioned a lot about disasters, and I'm wondering, in various traditions, they talk about mitigation of disasters, prevention of disasters, and I'm just kind of wondering what the Zeta believe about that. If there's a way to mitigate, prevent, reduce the severity, eliminate or reduce loss of life and suffering, because that seems to be the compassionate thing to do. And I'm also wondering, what is my role and the role of others in that process?
Ah, very good. Here's Zeta Talk on that, and they'll cover both. There will be a heavy die-off. We've stated about a 90% die-off. This is because so much of mankind clusters along coastlines, and because the oceans will slosh back and forth, rolling inland like a high tide, drowning so many coastal cities. Add to that the fact that most of mankind would react to a huge disaster with a type of depression, just sit down and not do anything to save themselves, and just starve and go peacefully, or die of their injuries and not be rescued. So there's little that can be done there because mankind today does not feed their hungry or necessarily rescue disasters. Darfur, for instance, allowed to go on, year after year. So we have gone to great extents on the Zeta Talk website, as has a group of people called the Troubled Times Group, who have put together a nonprofit booklet and CD, which you can read at your leisure on your PC or whatever, to detail what people can do to help themselves. It will be like being thrown back 100 years, or like the Amish live today. Not a bad life at all, but you need to be prepared for this. If you know what to do and what steps to take, the knowledge that you carry with you as a skill set is more important than actual supplies. The poor will, in fact, do better than the rich. The rich will stay in well-stocked enclaves and be inundated by marauding gangs who will take over, or their own militias, which they think will defend them, will turn on them, where the poor will be ignored and will communities of good-hearted people who pool their skill sets and help each other survive will do the best. And there's no reason you can't survive unless you have some sort of an illness that requires kidney dialysis or some. You'll be healthier. You'll be thinner, less heart disease. You'll get active. You'll be in better shape. You'll interact with each other. And don't forget music. And good cooks and poetry and the like. It's going to be an explorative time, and you will meet aliens who will come to assist you. If you're unafraid, they can contact you in your conscience and may even live in their high-tech cities with them. The key here is an open heart, willingly reaching out and not being fearful. And it will depend on locale whether or not such assistance is offered, because the element of doubt will prevail. And if anxiety would be increased, that will not happen. So there's no way to prevent the die-off that we can see, based on the fact that man is not preparing to warn people and to try to prepare them. Instead, an intractable cover-up seems to prevail, where admissions of the Earth wobble and the presence next to the sun, which showed so clearly on that coast-to-coast photo, are not being made. What is more important than these issues? Instead, you hear about Anna Nicole Smith, etc., and a Zeta Talk.
Zetas, this planet is losing its honeybees by the millions. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what's happening?
Yeah, here's Zeta Talk. We've mentioned increasing illness as being a factor of the approaching Planet X. This is due to many reasons. The swirling core emanates of waves, rays, etc., that man is not used to. Albinos, such as the white buffalo, pop up. This is because emanations that are normally in caves, cave creatures are white, they don't need pigment, are reaching the surface. This causes some illness. Also, people are distressed. They know something is wrong. The weather is too wild. Crop shortages are showing up. And they keep getting job layoffs and the like, and yet we're told the economy is strong when obviously it's not. So they're distressed, they're distracted, irritable with each other. This causes the immune system to drop. This is affecting bees as well. Honeybees have an additional problem in that they're ported about from field to field. Therefore, when one hive gets contaminated with an infection of some sort, it's being ported about. If someone has the flu, you send them home. You don't drag them through every office building in the city to spread the flu germ. So this is what's happening. Honeybees will not die out. They'll survive. But in the short term, crop shortages are going to be badly affected. End of Zeta Talk on this.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Go ahead. You're on with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is Dennis in Meridian, Mississippi.
Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a question for the Zetas. Okay. And the question is that are they conscious or aware of any like AIs on this planet or elsewhere in the universe, you know, artificial intelligence or super intelligent computer systems or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Good question. And here's the Zetas on that. We've talked about robots in the rules section of Zeta Talk because there's a misconception. Even though we use biological elements in some of our computers, for instance, how we keep telepathic contact with each other, recording information is done through a biological computer, but it is not alive. It cannot think on its own. It does not have choice. This is the rule. You use leather, for instance, in your belts and shoes. This does not mean that your shoes and belt are alive. And so that's the rule, that robots, it cannot be an enslavement of life. It has to be a machine. So movies like Artificial Intelligence, which imply that a robot can have feeling, emotion, and make choice, is incorrect. By the rules of the universe that we are allowed to required to live under, that's not allowed. End of Zeta Talk.
All right, Dennis, thanks, and let's go to our final caller. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
My name is Mark. I'm a new caller. I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, Mark.
I have a question for the Zetas. I was just wondering why they are hesitant on showing themselves and proving that they do exist, because I'm sure there's a lot of concerned people out there like me who have doubts that would like to be proven otherwise.
Here's Zeta Talk on that. Well, what about your Phoenix Lights, which happened in March of 97 and recently in 2007, so dramatic, seen by across the street from different directions, and undeniable, even had a councilwoman in Phoenix insisting that there should be an investigation of why, what this was, and not be covered up. The awakening happens at the pace of mankind. For those people who are ready to see UFOs or become contactees, albeit in their subconscious, as most choose to remain in their subconscious, this will happen. But for those people who will be frightened, we are not allowed to frighten them by the rules we must operate under. So therefore, you take the pace of an area and say, are they ready or not? And if they're ready, they get a lot of UFO blitzes, and a lot of people give the call and become contactees. Other areas that would be frightened, nada, nothing. So this is why you have what's called UFO hotspots. Phoenix is certainly one of them. You yourself have probably given the call to become a contactee. We can confirm that. Your conscious is reluctant to admit it, but your subconscious is very eager to have a chat and has had a chat with ourselves. End of Zeta Talk.
Nancy, you take care of yourself. Your website, zetatalk.com. Appreciate everything.
I love it. Welcome me back again. We'll have a busy and wonderful time. Thanks, George.
And there you have it. You know, over the years, people have purported to have been abducted by extraterrestrials. They have been ridiculed. They have been scoffed at. Some say no, they really were. You just heard Nancy Leader. Does she channel the Zetas? You make up your own mind. I'll be back in a moment with David Booth on Coast to Coast AM.